Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Cocked your head to the side and said I'm angry. 5 days since you laughed at me, saying get that together, come back and see me. 3 days since the living room, I realized it's all my fault, but couldn't tell you. Yesterday, you'd forgiven me, but it'll still be 2 days till I say I'm sorry. Hold
it, now I'm watching the hood. Have you ever seen a news story and you're like, come on, and then you read it like, oh my god. I've got one of those for you here today. This comes out of San Francisco, so maybe you're not so surprised. But you know, if there's ever a weird story, you just kind of figure, where's that from? Is that from San Francisco? Oh, sure enough, it is. All right. And this was a very rapidly developing story. Okay, because it came and went pretty quickly. But here goes. Newsweek is the source on this headline. San Francisco's public schools convert F's to C's, B's to A's in equity push. So the plan was, well, here, I'll just read it to you. San Francisco's public high schools will implement a sweeping change to their grade. This was Friday. San Francisco's public high schools will implement a sweeping change to their grading system this fall, replacing traditional methods with a policy that allows students to pass with scores as low as 41%. The initiative, part of a broader, and here's the title of the program, Grading for Equity push, is stirring. I'm not making this up. This is not transgressors. I will cover this in transgressors.
Oh,
this
I bet
is
you
not
will.
Transgressors. This is a real thing.
41?
Grading for equity is stirring concern among educators, students, and parents over academic standards and college readiness. Similar practices across other Bay Area districts, Dublin, Oakland, Pleasanton, have seen mixed results and strong community reaction. You'd think. Dublin United attempted a pilot of equity grade. Equity, oh, it just makes me, my eye twitch to say it out loud, in 2023, which included removing zeros for missed assignments. If you miss an assignment, you just don't, that doesn't, nothing happens.
Really?
And awarding a minimum of 50% for any reasonably attempted work. So, you know the old, you put your name on the top of the paper?
Right.
Here's your 50.
I was just about to say that.
The experiment in San Francisco comes amid or despite a broader rethinking of DEI initiatives after the election of Donald Trump, who ran our platform of excising, that's cutting out, what he and many others said were unfair equity practices in the government private sectors. Superintendent Maria Sue's plan in San Francisco was not subject to a public vote by the Board of Education, drawing criticism for lack of transparency. The new policy, set to affect more than 10,000 students across 14 high schools, significantly changes how academic performance is measured. Homework and classroom participation will no longer influence a student's final grade.
So I can sit there, put my name on a piece of paper, and just stare at you.
Not do the work, not
right.
Show up to class.
That's what I'm talking about.
All good. Students will be assessed primarily on a final exam, which they can retake multiple times. Just
what?
Like life.
I know.
You don't have to show up to work. You don't have to participate at work.
You don't have to do
and
anything.
If there is a big project, you can redo it if it doesn't go right.
Exactly.
Just like real life. Attendance and punctuality will not affect academic standing.
But
by the way, and okay, if you know, you know I'm telling you the truth. And if you don't know, you're going to think I'm making this up. But punctuality is viewed by DEI world as racist.
What? Wait.
Punctuality is viewed by DEI world as racist. It's a white standard. Have you never heard of the expression color people time? CPT? You never heard of that? You ever? That's a thing. Even Hillary Clinton quoted it. That's a perception, a belief, and here's the argument. Hispanic people operate on a different sense of time than white people. White people operate on a different sense of time than black people. Different sense of time. It's not fair to judge them according to your state. I'm not kidding. This is a real thing.
And we're all in the same time zone.
Well, yeah.
Okay. But I just want to verify.
If you tell a kid you got to be there at 8, and he's there at 8:10, and you grade him down for being tardy, that's a white, oppressive, racist system of just like asking a kid about lacrosse or polo or tennis or golf on the SAT is racist because those are sports that black people have less access to. It's the same basic thinking. The DEI world, the kind of, you know, wokest training is really that grades can be racist. Time standards are racist. Spelling standards are racist. Speech. I mean, I'm not even, this is not even controversial that it exists. I mean, it's controversial that they practice it. But anyway, okay, so students will be assessed primarily. I did that. If our grading policies don't change, the achievement and opportunity gaps will remain for our most vulnerable students. If our grading policies don't change, if we are truly dedicated to equity, we have to stop avoiding the sensitive issue of grading and embrace it. This was in a paper by Joe Feldman, who is an educational consultant known for his book, Grading for Equity, and he is being hired by San Francisco to teach teachers this summer. They're paying this guy to teach the teachers how to grade for equity better so that the kids don't suffer the adverse consequences of receiving D's and F's.
I'm speechless.
Oh, it gets better.
Oh, no.
We're just starting. John Pickens has traffic on the fives, John.
No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 are actually flowing smoothly. Even Davis Highway, Highway 90 all look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives. It gets better.
Feldman's book outlines how traditional grading can reinforce socioeconomic disparities and proposes alternative strategies for more equitable assessment. According to the Voice of San Francisco, it's a newspaper, the new system will be modeled in part on San Leandro Unified School District, where students earn an A with a score as low as 80 and pass with a D at just 21%. Under the forthcoming for San Francisco policy, a score of 41% will qualify as a C. Educators who support equity-based grading caution against interpreting these percentages through a traditional 100-point lens. Well, then what do they mean?
Can we go back and redo some of my grades? I mean, my mom would be happy.
Supporters of this policy say it better reflects real student learning by de-emphasizing behavior-based penalties, like late work or missed assignments or attendance or class participation. You know, it's systemic racism to have a white teacher ask a black kid a question and then punish him for not raising his hand and participating in class. I mean, it's all the same. See, if you listen to the Transgressors ceremony on Friday and you think I'm making stuff up, you think I'm exaggerating, I'm not exaggerating. It's just not that everybody does it. This really is the way they think about this stuff. And by the way, let me say this. Honestly, they're trying to do good things for these kids. They really believe this is helpful. But you remember the phrase by George W. Bush when he said the soft bigotry of low expectations? It's the contrast between, you know, kind of like the Coach Carter mindset of be here on time. If you're late, you don't play. You wear a tie. You know, like, create these standards and give people some pride to know to live up to it, or because they won't do it, then don't bother having any standards at all. That's the way, the soft bigotry of low expectations. It does nothing for these students to help them learn. Lori Sargent, an eighth grade English teacher in Dublin Unified School District, says, nowhere in college do you get 50% for doing nothing.
Exactly. That's what I keep saying.
So the advocates say it's time to emphasize learning over effort. I thought that's what grade did, is the proof that you had learned it. Prioritizing learning is exactly what equitable grading does. It recognizes the individual journey of every student and acknowledges that we all learn differently at our own pace and in various ways, with accompanying music and rose petals thrown at our feet, no matter how poorly our performance shows. Grading for equity de-emphasizes the importance of timely performance, assignment completion, and consistent attendance. All tools of the patriarchy. Like, I don't even have to write Transgressors. It's just, oh, my God. Okay, so there's good news, though, because that's the bad news. The bad news is that they proposed this. The good news is, oh, crap, didn't realize people would hate this. So now they're backing off. Superintendent Maria Sue announced on Wednesday that the plan would not go forward. It's clear there are a lot of questions, concerns, and misinformation. No, they're not misinformation. They're accurate information about an insane plan. 41% gets you a C. We want to make sure any changes benefit our students. I've decided not to pursue this strategy for next year to ensure we have time to meaningfully engage the community. By the way, this is being done. This kind of stuff is being done in other places. It's not just San Francisco. They just happen to be the most recent example of it. We owe our young people an education that prepares them to succeed, according to San Jose Mayor Matt Mahan and Mayor, even San Francisco Mayor Daniel Lurie. They wrote a joint op-ed criticizing it, wrote on social media. They have conveyed their views to San Francisco United School District, or I don't know why it strikes me as funny, but SFUSD, so FU's right in the middle, SFUSD.
You can't make that up.
You should come up with a better acronym for your school district. SFUSD. Come on now. We are optimistic that there is a better path forward for our kids in their future. We owe our young people an education that prepares them to succeed. The proposed changes in grading at the SFUSD would not accomplish that, you think. Lowering standards does not help children. It hurts them. That's right. Oh, my goodness. It's amazing. So the good news is they're backing off. The bad news is they thought this was a great idea to go forward with. By the way, in Chicago, just to show you this, not just the one place. In Chicago, Chicago Public Schools are debating whether their grading policy is too lenient because they have a new grading policy that went in before COVID that allowed them to redo assignments repeatedly and then submit assignments late, intended to address rising absenteeism in the district. You know, kids aren't showing up to class. If they didn't complete, they didn't show up, they don't do the homework, well, they'd get a 50. What does 50 mean? You know where this all started? I know where this started. You know where this started?
Where?
I'm going to give it 110%.
Oh.
We abandoned the notion that, you know, math actually meant something. Because you literally can't give 110%. It's, you know, the amp doesn't go to 11. It just goes to 10. Okay? Sorry, Spinal Tap. You're wrong. Anyway, we're not issuing grades. This is from the Chicago story. We're not issuing grades without knowing the full story. If the student has not shown up, are we just issuing a zero, or are we asking why? Are we asking why? I mean, I think maybe we just ask the students what they prefer to do with their days and then grade them based on whether they hit their self-defined educational day objectives. You know, individualized grading, individualized attention.
I know.
One student was baffled by the notion that her classmates were passing the class with high absenteeism and missing assignments when she was doing the work. Kayla Saffold says, I was a witness to kids just coming in like twice a week doing two assignments and then passing the class. It was crazy to me. What an utterly white criticism to make. Nice privilege, Kaya. Oh, I got some texts in here. Let's see what these texts. Let's see. Don't tell anybody, but the folks listening, they've been doing it in schools everywhere. You're not allowed to fail people regardless of their score. Yeah, that's terrible. I didn't think it could happen, but San Francisco is worse. trying to do the for kids is keeping them and keeping them honestly dumb. Which chapter of Revelation are we in? Which scene of Idiocracy? Oh, they definitely serve Brondo in the SFUSD schools. So then get your electrolytes. John Pickens has got. Oh, I already did traffic. All right, we did. I'm just moving on then. What do we need to talk about? Something else. 437-1620. If you are in the market for that next vehicle, Frontier Motors, they've got a great selection of good quality used cars. Their cars really are A quality, where A is like a 90 and above. You know, they're not, it's not a 41. They're telling you it's an A. I mean, they're really strict because they want to make sure that you get a car that you can count on, a car that you can use for years and years. They'll warranty it to 100,000 miles or 10 years. They wouldn't do that except that they're good cars. And I know, like, they followed up with us. It was the weirdest thing. I'd never heard of a used car dealer that does this. We bought an Odyssey from them. It was a year old, so in great shape. Came back off of a year lease down in Florida, in Orlando, and the dealership couldn't sell it, so they picked it up at an auction, sold it to us. Great price, 13,000 miles. They called me after 6 months, Calvin, our sales guy. Hey, anything wrong with the car? I'm like, no, it's great. I got to go. And then he called me again a year. Anything wrong with the car? And I'm like, twice? But then, like, well, one of the keys, physical key, doesn't work. Like, the fob's fine, but the physical key. He's like, bring it in. We'll fix it on us. I'm like, what? On you? Okay. So they did. So a year after we bought the car, they fixed something that was not quite perfect with it at their expense. That's who Frontier Motor is. Frontier Motors is. That's, they want to make sure that you have a relationship forever because you never want to go anywhere else because who else takes care of you that well? Serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Hey, Northwest Florida, Dave Ramsey here. I want to tell you about my friends over at Gulf Coast Air Care. Owner Todd St. Ors and his team focus on the indoor air quality side of HVAC for the people who want comfortable, healthy, and energy-efficient homes and workplaces. Gulf Coast Air Care can help you with dusty, moldy, or leaky duct systems, hot or cold rooms, and odors and humidity issues. So, if you need duct cleaning, duct repair, repairs, or air filtration, you should call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768. They've been trusted members of the community for over 30 years. And remember what Todd always says, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768 or visit them online at gulfcoastaircare.com. And be sure and tell them that Dave Ramsey sent you.
Hey, Escambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA customer service department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850.
Bands on the Beach is presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. You can bring a blanket or a lawn chair and spend the summer in the sand relaxing and enjoying the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, it's the new Cahoots. This acoustic duo from Pensacola, formed by songwriters Michael Garcia and Gordon Frank, will take the stage and they'll blend the sound of folk, bluegrass, and Americana. It's Bands on the Beach happening this Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion. Remember, no pets or glass allowed.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction tomorrow at 10:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Pain does not exist in this dojo, does it?
No, Sensei!
Defeat does not exist in this dojo, does it?
No, Sensei!
You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. Touch this.
Man, you're watching it in your brain, aren't you? You're watching it. Parachute Pants shuffling left and right. Oh, yeah. It's good stuff. What do the backup dancers look like? 827 here on News Radio 92.3.
I just remember the gold pants.
Gold pants and backup dancers in black spandex. 827 on News Radio 92.3. Not that I noticed as a teenage boy. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning, gentlemen. The manhunt continues for the former Arkansas police chief that escaped from prison recently, Grant Hardin, who walked out of a Calico Rock prison May 25th, disguised as a law enforcement officer. He's got the best criminal nickname I've ever heard, Devil of the Ozarks. But he was serving time for some really horrendous crimes. The manhunt continues for him. U.S. Marshals and the FBI are now offering a reward of up to $25,000.
All right, David, I need to pause you. I have done a disservice to the listener. John Pickens has traffic despite my failure. Go on, John.
Wow. Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Still rolling accident-free right now. Not seeing any delays. Everything is looking good on I-10, I-110, Highway 29, and even 98. John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Is there anything else you need at this time, John?
Not right now, but I'll be back with you.
Continuing now, part 2, David Wayne in the newsroom with our headlines.
Well, I'm not sure how to feel about all this, but the New York State Supreme Court is hearing arguments today in the New York City Council's effort to try and stop ICE from operating at the Rikers Island jail complex. Their city council members allege that ICE agents on Rikers violates the city's sanctuary laws. And Neuralink, Elon Musk's brain computer interface startup, is closing a series of e-funding rounds after raising $650 million. Series E is usually the final stage of startup funding before going public.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 829 on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? Oh, the Supreme Court has passed on hearing two cases involving Second Amendment issues. The first is whether the ban on so-called assault rifles, what I would call sporting rifles, is within the bounds of the Constitution or not, although several of the conservative justices expressed their interest in the case because, I mean, the basic issue here is going to be whether, you know, the most popular rifle in America, the AR-15, is going to suddenly, you know, millions and millions and tens of millions of these. What's the number, John? It's got to be tens of millions that are in possession. Millions at least, okay, that are in people's possession. Whether that is suddenly going to become illegal. And so, of course, some states have this make it illegal. But Brett Kavanaugh says this court should and presumably will address the AR-15 issue soon, in the next term or two. So that will be one. The other was high-capacity magazines above 10 for, again, typically for your rifles, but other weapons as well.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. The expected effect of President Trump's new tariffs has the forecast for economic growth in the U.S. and globally slashed by the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development.
He says on Truth Social, if other countries are allowed to use tariffs against us and we're not allowed to counter them quickly and nimbly with tariffs against them, our country doesn't have even a small chance of economic survival.
Fox's Peter Ducey at the White House. Trump administration's pushing other countries for their best offers on trade by tomorrow. A man in custody for firebombing a pro-Israel group in Boulder, Colorado. Mohammed Soleiman is charged with a federal hate crime.
Court documents show Soleiman tried to buy a gun for the attack but couldn't because he is in the country illegally. So he moved to researching how to make a Molotov cocktail on YouTube. He admits throwing two of them.
Fox's Alicia Cunha in Boulder. 12 people are burned, two still hospitalized. Soleiman says he targeted the group and planned the attack for a year. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now, 75 degrees and partly cloudy this morning in Pensacola. Escambia County is set to vote on a $42.5 million offer from Tri-W Development to purchase OLF 8 site in Beulah. That would include a $100,000 deposit to start a six-month inspection period. If the deal were approved, closing could occur as soon as early 2026. The agreement would require compliance with the OLF 8 master plan, and there could be a restrictive covenant to ensure future owners adhere to development guidelines as well. This will all be up for discussion on Thursday at the Escambia County Board of Commissioners meeting. Milton Mann is charged with assaulting a police officer after an incident earlier this week. Milton police were called to a domestic disturbance at a residence on Sunday. They say an anonymous call had reported a male was acting physically aggressive towards his spouse at that residence. When officers arrived, they say 54-year-old Scott Dillard refused to identify himself, resisted arrest, and attempted to flee into a house. At one point, officers say Dillard placed an officer in a headlock as he resisted. Officers eventually subdued Dillard with pepper spray. EMS cleared him when he was taken to the Santa Rosa County Jail. He is charged with battery on a law enforcement officer, domestic battery, and resisting an officer with violence. Officials say a Honduran man is now facing multiple charges and possibly even deportation after crashing into a barricade outside of NAS Pensacola. 34-year-old Moises Garcia Hernandez was arrested after crashing into a barricade outside the checkpoint gate at the NAS, then allegedly running from military police onto the base. He was ultimately captured at gunpoint following a foot pursuit. Hernandez is charged with illegally entering a military property and resisting the arrest of a federal officer. If convicted, he could face a year and a half in jail. More than 80 residents at the Maxwell Respite Center will have to move by the end of the month. The shelter's landlords have reportedly secured a new tenant to rent that property. The center, which is run by Reentry Alliance Pensacola, has helped transition over 1,000 people into permanent housing over the past 3 years. Executive Director Vince Wibbs Jr. is seeking community assistance to find housing for displaced residents, including families, women and children, and veterans. REAP is being kicked down so the landlord can move another nonprofit into the space, the Overflow Health Alliance. They do provide medical services, case management, and some residential treatment. REAP does say some of their residents might be able to stay, but most of them will have to find another place to go. A new law makes it easier to kick out squatters in Florida. Governor DeSantis signed an anti-squatting bill yesterday, SB 322. It makes it easier for commercial property owners to regain possession of their property by removing those with no authority to stay there. The governor says Florida doesn't tolerate squatters and stands with its property owners. Now, state and local law enforcement officials going after scammers that are targeting senior citizens, including those who are already behind bars.
Florida Attorney General James Uthmeyer says there's a growing problem with prisoners using contraband cell phones to con the elderly into giving up cash.
In this case, it's very easy because we know exactly where they are. So they're not going anywhere. They cannot run and hide.
Florida Corrections boss Ricky Dixon says criminal networks are operating from the inside using drones as well as phones.
Several thousand are confiscated a year. So that just gives you an idea of the breadth of this problem.
40 phones confiscated during a sweep of three state facilities. Gordon Bird, Tampa.
And it's 8:35 at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has a look at our traffic on the fives.
Still rolling accident-free right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Just seeing some small delays on Davis Highway southbound as you approach Olive Road. But other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
And thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
We are going to have a lovely day today with mostly sunny skies, high near 88 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 74. 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms starting Wednesday with a high near 87. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 73. For Thursday, 40% chance of rain, high near 89. And by Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 75. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. We've got 75 degrees, partly cloudy skies right now. Your next news at 9 o'clock and breaking news anytime. And your money now. This morning, markets are mixed. The Dow's up 38 points at 42,343. The S&P down just under 3 points at 59,33. NASDAQ is down 5.5 points at 19,233. Our 10-year bond rate right now, down just a bit at 4.422%. Gold prices are down $11.90 at $33.58.70. Silver prices down just under 8 cents at $34.61. And looking at the crypto market, we're seeing gains across the board. Bitcoin up 8.21 at 105.184. Ethereum's up 77. Solana's up $8. Dogecoin up a fraction of a penny, and XRP up about a nickel this morning. Some taxpayers can expect to receive their refunds this month. Many have already received their 2024 tax returns. Most who filed their taxes in May, though, are receiving refunds in June. According to the IRS, refunds for taxpayers that filed online and opted for direct deposit generally arrive within 3 weeks, but the process can take longer if a check in the mail was requested. Disney is reportedly laying off hundreds of people. That's according to Deadline. They reported most of those layoffs are across divisions of Disney Entertainment, with corporate financial operations also being impacted. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell says it's vital that the central bank understands the financial practices of other nations. He spoke yesterday at the International Finance Division's 75th anniversary conference. Powell said seeing data from around the world helps the Fed to navigate inflation and employment. Today is National Egg Day. We got some good news along with that.
The price of eggs has dropped nearly 61% since March. The latest data from the U.S. Department of Agriculture shows white large shell eggs now average about $2.52 per dozen. That's down sharply from over $8 a dozen during the first week of March. A study in April by Clarify Capital said over 30% of Americans had stopped buying eggs due to the high costs. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
It's 8:38. Your next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Remember when washing machines were made in America, were solidly built, and actually got your clothes clean? They aren't a thing of the past. They are Speed Queen, and they are available at Tops Appliance. Speed Queen washer and dryers combine durability and technology into the best washers and dryers in the world. Speed Queen will change the way you think about washing machines. They're built to last longer and deliver exceptional wash results. Unlike many other washers and dryers with plastic parts, Speed Queen uses commercial-grade steel and porcelain components designed to give you at least 25 years of reliable, trouble-free operation. That's why they come with lifetime warranties, the best warranties in the business. See store for warranty details. Speed Queen washers and dryers are built to work and built to last. If you want durability, innovation, and perfectly done laundry the first time, then you want Speed Queen. See these great Speed Queen washers and dryers for yourself at Tops Appliance on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit David's Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing Prosecco Week, Father's Day, Craft Beer Festival, Juneteenth, Toast of the Coast, High on the Hog, Dinner with Strings, and the 4th of July. Tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot!
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
When you go to McDonald's, what do you order, sir? When you go to McDonald's, what do you order, sir?
Well, I'll typically order a collection of things. A cheeseburger, and I'll always have some chicken nuggets.
There's nothing
wrong with nuggets.
The chicken
nuggets. And I will
not
apologize.
Aren't you a little bit old for the chicken nugget?
What, is there an age limit for chicken nuggets? Those things are delicious.
Saucy nugs. They're
chicken
for
and
their
nuggets. A little barbecue sauce, that's good stuff right there. I'm a growing boy. Everyone's listening, thinking, I can go for some nuggets right now. And they probably have to wait until, what, lunchtime. 10,
I just think I know what we're doing for a frivolous topic today, all courtesy of Sheriff Simmons. I will not apologize for eating the saucy nugs. There we go. That's our question of the day. At what age, if any, should you stop eating the chicken nuggets? 437-1620, 437-1620. We all know 5-year-old wants a Happy Meal with chicken nuggets and a toy and some fries. Apple slices if you're Michelle Obama, whatever. But that's, you know, fine. I am 54 years old. I cannot remember the last time I ordered a chicken McNugget. I mean, it's been years, decade. I don't know. It's been a while. So that's the question of the day. Is it adult to order the chicken nuggets? Look, if Chip Simmons orders it, obviously the answer is yes. But I just wonder if anybody else shares this view that chicken nuggets are not a thing for adults. 437-1620. John Pickens, chicken nuggets for adults or not for adults?
Oh, heck yeah.
When was the last time you had one?
A couple of weeks ago when I had like a dollar or two to my name.
Did you? Okay. Yeah. And all you could do was get some. You can't get chicken nuggets for a dollar at McDonald's.
However much it was. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
But
all right, fair
enough. No, they're good.
Are they?
I don't know if they're good for you.
Chicken tenders are fine, you know. Fried chicken strips. Chicken strips are marginal.
Right.
Marginal adult child food. Okay. Chicken crispers at Chili's, at least the way they used to make them. They don't make them anymore, so they ruined that. They did destroy that, right?
Right.
Yeah, okay. And I worked at Chili's for a long time, so I love the old chicken crispers. I can make them at home, though, if you want a clone recipe.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
All right. Meg. We had a Mel for a long time here, so anyway, sorry. Meg, okay. Chicken nuggets, adult food. Only for minors? What do you think?
Well, this may be a first. I may have to recuse myself from this question.
Oh, interesting. Do you have investment in McDonald's or something?
No, but I have never had a chicken nugget.
What?
Oh, ever.
What?
I know. Look at their faces.
What?
That's why I'm recusing
myself.
Wow.
Okay. But
I've never had one.
All right. Questions. I have questions.
Lots. Lots.
Do you eat chicken?
Yes. Love chicken.
Have you had a chicken sandwich?
Yes, I love another place that serves chicken sandwiches.
Okay, fair enough. Chicken wings?
Yep, love chicken wings.
Chicken tenders? Deep fried chicken tenders?
I've had not, but chicken not at
strips,
McDonald's.
But just never chicken nuggets?
I don't know.
Even in like odd shapes, like dino nuggets or nothing like that?
No.
Okay.
All right.
Fair enough.
No.
All right. We're just
when
learning.
I go to McDonald's, I get the double cheeseburger.
So this is not a recuse. This is a, I just don't know.
Well, I would think you would recuse yourself from a conversation that you don't know anything about.
I want to give you a hypothetical scenario.
Here we go.
Okay.
I know it. I know.
Here we go.
Some strapping lad out there asks you on a date.
Sure.
And you guys decide to scrimp and save a little, so you go to McDonald's mm-hmm. instead of going to some other place. There's so many places deep, but you decide to go to McDonald's.
Okay.
And at McDonald's, he orders a meal of chicken nuggets.
Okay.
How you feel about that?
He lost me when he took me to McDonald's. So whatever he orders,
fair enough.
Doesn't matter to me.
We're going to avoid the question. All right, fair enough. All right,
I tried to warn you.
We'll get to these texts in just a moment. 437-1620. The question of the day. Are chicken nuggets adult food? John Pickens has traffic on the five. John?
That's right. Still rolling accident free right now. I-10, I-110 are still looking good. I'm seeing no delays to let you know about. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
I feel like somewhere out there, somebody's wanting to draw this distinction between the crispers and the strips and the nuggets and the McNuggets all of that. And we'll get into all that finery, all that intellectual highbrow stuff in just a moment. Meanwhile, if you are retiring or you're 64 turning 65 and you need to get converted over onto Medicare, it can be a little bit, you know, a little apprehension for you because it's a new thing. It's different. But listen, you know, it's fine. It's easy. It's not that complicated. But I know you've got questions. You know, what is Advantage? What is supplement? What about prescription drugs? What about Medicaid? Does that apply to me? Okay. Good questions. All good questions. Don't ask me. Ask Ricky Stewart. She's a dear friend, and I've known her as long as we've lived here. Really, sweetheart. Her whole family does insurance. She does this one part. She just helps people with Medicare. So give her a call. 241-2185 or look her up online, insuredbyricky.com. All right, back to the question of the day, which is, are chicken nuggets adult food? 437-1620. Somebody says, let's see, I'm never too old for chicken nuggets, and I'm 65. Very good. Michael says, the $5 meal comes with 4 chicken nuggets. Hello. they must be, otherwise why would they sell for 40 cents a piece? Although I don't know you can get chicken nuggets for that price at McDonald's. Maybe as the add-on, isn't what it's again been so long, but can't you just add nuggets to a meal for, there's probably some deal, right?
Probably.
Like 5 for $2 or something like that. Let's see. I'm a 52-year-old female and I only get McNuggets at McDonald's. Well, that just shows your good judgment about the other food at McDonald's. Side comment snipe. Anyway, somebody says there's no age limit on chicken McNuggets. And I will say this person is very tuned into my own sensibilities here because they sent me a it was a good joke. I can't explain it on the radio. I'm sorry I even brought it up. It's not because it's lurid. It's just because forget it. No McDonald's, not ever. Oh, well, that's a different question. I mean, they're not the only ones who sell chicken nuggets. By the way, let me pontificate for a moment. We like Buffalo Wild Wings. Okay, Buffalo Wild Wings has the traditional bone-in wings, and they also have
boneless.
Yeah, there's no such thing as a boneless chicken wing. There's chicken nuggets and there's chicken wings. Calling a chicken nugget a boneless wing is a lie. There's not a boneless wing. It's a chicken nugget. Okay, and when you call it a boneless wing, you make me think, oh, I'm getting a wing. No, you're getting a chicken nugget. And they're fine, but it's not a wing. Stop lying to everybody. 437-1620.
Time to think. I really know it.
I'm getting a headache.
Somebody says, bruh, always side with the sheriff. Nuggets have that
right.
crispy crunch.
Hey, that's a good thing. Make sure you always have nuggets in your car. The new donuts.
Flesh this out a little.
You know. That way you can
so when you get pulled over and they ask you for your
sheriff.
License,
yeah,
say, like, license, registration, and nuggets.
Some nuggies for sharing.
Okay.
Just like them.
Seems vaguely like a bribe to me, but okay.
No, we're feeding them.
If it's, you can bribe people with food. If it's chicken and it's fried, oh yeah. Somebody says, well, I know what I'm having for lunch today. Vicky says, I like their nuggets with the barbecue. If they forget to give me barbecue, then yuck. Somebody else says, I'm Team Meg. I have never had a chicken nugget.
See, I'm not alone. Thank you for that support. Oh. I appreciate it so much.
You're still alone. I love when we get the sympathy text. You know, I'm with John. I'm with nobody ever texts. I'm with Andrew. I guess I don't need the help.
Well.
There might be reasons, sir.
Well?
Somebody says support single chicken moms. Eat chicken strips. Meg, I love you very much, but I double and triple dare you to try anyone's chicken nuggets. It's like an assignment now. If you get the chicken nuggets from Chick-fil-A and they're real chicken, then yes. If you get the others from unnamed sources, bits and pieces, they're not chicken, then no. I don't like the texture of McNuggets particularly. That's my problem. I don't eat McNuggets because I don't like the texture of them. I never know what I'm going to get in there. Am I getting, you know, a piece of none, whatever it is? I don't trust them. No age limit on chicken nuggets unless it's the Dino Nuggets. Oh, I love Dino Nuggets. That's probably, if I've had a chicken nugget in the last 10 years, it's probably Dino Nuggets. You know, buy them for the boys and eat a few on the side. Let's see. Michael says, yes, they're adult food when they're purchased from Chick-fil-A. Jim says, hey, Meg, I'm so sorry. I can only afford the dollar menu at McDonald's.
See, that's what I was saying.
No age limit, says Bruce. 5 kids and 16 grandkids. I don't want to see another nugget. let's see. Chickens don't have nuggets. Oh, that's true. There is no piece of the chicken called the nugget. Or if it is, you don't want to eat it. Vegetarians have no chicken nuggets, but no judgment. I'm 55. I still put potato chips in my peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Oh, I love that. Nuggets are pre-chewed food, and that's why.
Hey, that's less work.
They kind of are, though.
They are.
It's beige sludge, like right?
That.
Deep fried.
No, I'm never gonna eat one.
Oh, this is a great quote. Parts is parts. I forgot
it's still
about
chicken.
That. Parts is parts. I'm Andrew McKay.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate, managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR can help you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
It's hurricane season, and Escambia County Emergency Management wants you to be 1 week ready. Join Escambia Emergency Manager Travis Tompkins and meteorologist Scotland Wilson on the Pensacola Expert Panel this morning at 10:30 as they discuss hurricane preparedness and what it means to be 1 week ready. That's this morning at 10:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Wendy's Chicken Sandwich is pure boneless breast of chicken. Moist and perfect and not processed.
As I hear tell, all the parts are crammed into one big part.
Used.
Yeah, then the one big part is cut up into little pieces parts. And parts is parts.
Don't be afraid of your freedom.
You don't remember that ad?
No.
Oh, that's what they were quoting when they were sending me that text about parts is parts. I'm like,
clearly,
oh,
I blocked it out.
I got to go get that ad. So in the time in the commercial, I went and grabbed the audio from that ad. Parts is parts. Oh, I've forgotten about that one. That's a classic. 8:53 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. What? Now I completely forgot what it was I was going to talk with you about because I was so busy working on that. I thought this was just a... It's a weird story. Have you heard the taco thing? The taco insult for Donald Trump? Trump always chickens out. Speaking of chicken nuggets.
No.
Keeping on theme here. We are all chicken this
wow.
half hour. No. So critics of President Trump are calling him a taco. They're saying that whenever he makes a threat, he never follows through on it. Trump always chickens out.
I like beef.
Yeah. So what? So. Here's what I think is fascinating about this this line of attack. The complaint is, presumably, that Trump threatens to do too many things that are aggressive or ridiculous or outlandish or, you know, 145% becomes 15%, becomes 50%, becomes 20%, whatever, that kind of thing. And so the insult to his follow-through, kind of to his manhood, is you always back down. You're a chicken at heart. Okay, so I get what you're saying, but what's your strategy here? Like, your strategy is to take a man who, from your perspective, is all bluster, is all irrational threat and behavior, and is a bully and has, you know, always wants to be perceived as strong. And your way of getting him to behave better is to say he's a wussy. Because it seems to me like if you're right about who President Trump is, and you call him a wussy, a taco, then best case scenario, he doesn't back down, and so he does the aggressive, excessive thing that you don't want him to do anyway. It seems like if you win, you lose. So how dumb are you for using this as a form of insult? Meanwhile, Russ Douthat at New York Times writes an interesting op-ed about this. I'll get it in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Barberry Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the bay winner, Barberry Plumbing. 477-8782. Still rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110 all look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, you want good advice, you want somebody who's going to get the job done, solve your problems, especially if they're individual. You know, a lot of times you have unique circumstances. Every deal is different. Every home is different. Every contract is a little bit different. Maybe you're going through a divorce. It's not pleasant. Nobody likes to think about it, but it happens. And if you need to sell a home, how do two people who cannot get along enough to sell a home? Well, it's hard. So Christina had run into this. Christina Leavenworth had run into this a couple of years ago and thought, man, we can probably do this better. And so went and her people got specific training on how to deal with divorce sales. Same thing for estate sales. When somebody dies, it might seem easy to you, but if the siblings don't all get along, right, then all of a sudden you got a challenge. So dealing with it, like, that's how they do. They do their best with a new circumstance, and then if they feel like they can do it better or learn about it, they go learn about it. So they become experts at solving that situation. So, you know, whether it's a particular problem like that, or whether it's just you got a general question, give her a call. She loves talking to people about real estate. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty. So back to the taco thing, liberals criticizing Trump for chickening out. You know, Trump always chickens out is the expression. And so in my opinion, it seems like if what you're trying to do is chicken shame somebody, you know, how smart is it to chicken shame somebody? You try saying that. Chicken shame. Someone you think is so shallow and egomaniacal that he can be chicken shamed into what? Being less willing to back down on outrageous. It just seems like a counterproductive situation. So on the other hand, you also have, again, Russ Douthat, who is an opinion columnist for The New York Times. He says, honestly, that Trump's willingness to swerve and backpedal and contradict himself is a big part of what keeps the president viable when the situation changes or in adapting to this didn't work, I'll try that. Kind of the feint, you know, the whole like feint, like the false, attack. But even the idea of, you know, I'll ask for 100, but what I really want is 20. It's kind of a weird thing if you think about it. Trump hates to admit he's wrong. Like, he never admits he's wrong. I don't think ever in my entire life I've heard him say he's wrong. But he does change all the time. He changes his position. He changes his number. He changes his standard. He'll never admit that it was wrong to begin with, but he does change. And so, again, Russ's analysis of this is it looks like chickening out, but in the end, does he get something more than was originally gotten? Well, that's the question. You have to look at the particular circumstance. But, again, I just think that, you know, I don't think that this line of attack for the president is going to work if he's the bad guy that you really think he is. 437-1620, you've heard David talking about this a little bit this morning, but Rick Scott and Jimmy Petronis, who are both UF grads, have now come, they are now coming out against the proposed president for University of Michigan. His name is Santa Ono, and he's the current president of Michigan, and he wants to be the president of Florida. The Board of Governors is supposed to meet to vote on this nomination today. Rick Scott says, I have serious concern about Santa Ono's nomination to be the president of the University of Florida, and every single member of the Florida Board of Governors should be demanding answers right now. UF is a world-renowned institution and our state's flagship university that has set a gold standard for fighting anti-Semitism and protecting Jewish students, and its leadership must follow suit. Clearly, Ono has a concerning record from his time at University of Michigan, where he allowed an illegal pro-terrorist encampment to take over the campus for nearly a month, putting Jewish students in danger and failing to uphold even the most basic standards of leadership. He also says, Scott says he has a record of embracing diversive and radical DEI policies and so on. Also, you have Jimmy Patronis said it a little bit more succinctly. There's too much smoke with Santa Ana. We need a leader, not a DEI acolyte. Leave the Ann Arbor thinking in Ann Arbor. So it's interesting because DeSantis, who has picked Ono and endorses him, says that he's really kind of reached the limit on campus leftism. He wants to come here to Florida because it's more in line with what he wants. It's, you know, it's frowned upon here, and he wants to embrace that. What's interesting about all this is the infighting between DeSantis and the legislature, DeSantis and Rick Scott, DeSantis and Jimmy Patronis, apparently. Streamer.